are listening to Putnam Proud, a podcast about the Putnam County Charter School System in Edenton, Georgia. Our shows will highlight the school system, families, teachers, staff, and the community.
Hey, welcome back. Steve here, and I've got another exciting episode of the Putnam Proud podcast. And with me today is the superintendent of Putnam County Charter School System, Mr. Eric Arena. Say hi to everybody.
Steve, glad to be here. Thanks for hosting this again for us.
Glad to be here. And today we're talking about summer inspiration. And it's a program you're going to learn all about. And with me, I got an awesome cast and crew here of the summer inspiration program. So we're going to say hi so we get some voices to go with names here in just a second. So let's start with Becky. Say hi to everybody.
Hi, I'm Becky Noron.
Rakina?
Hi, I'm Rakina Griffin.
Pegs?
Hi, I'm Pegs Fazio.
Kathy?
Hi, I'm Kathy Smith.
And Beth?
Hello, I'm Beth Bacon.
Excellent. So let's start off by answering the question, what's summer inspiration?
Well, I guess Kathy and I can probably start off with that conversation. Summer inspiration is something that Putnam County started 10 years ago to reach students who don't have the opportunity to participate in summer activities. And as parents and now as a grandparent, we all know how important it is to keep kids engaged during the summer. So this was an idea that Mr. Arena put out there for us to consider, and we started growing it. And it has continued to grow to reach almost more than 30-40% of our students who participate now. So, Kathy?
We have we offer our kids 4 days a week, a camp, enriching activities. We provide breakfast, lunch, transportation. They do this for 6 weeks. It gives our teachers a chance to explore their passion without testing, without all the lesson plans and things that go into the regular school day, and it just becomes a fun, enriching summer for both our teachers and our kids.
And Steve, I'll say that most of us in middle-class America, we provide our children or grandchildren with experiences, whether that be music lessons or that be 4-H camp or FFA camps or they go to sports camps. And one of the things that we recognized early on was that a lot of our children in this community didn't necessarily have those same opportunities. Coupled with that is, how could we stitch the last day of school to the first day of school? A lot of people in our profession talk about learning loss over the summer. And so there was this thought of, how can we be creative? How can we make learning fun? And how can we provide opportunities for our students who live in this zip code to have the same opportunities, experiences, regardless of other zip codes? So almost a decade ago, you know, I asked Beth and Kathy if they were willing to pick up special projects, and they're always willing, and they're excellent educators and excellent leaders, and they were able to take this concept, and we talked it out, and I remember some of the first conversations we talked about. Because a lot of times when you think about a summer camp, you think about going Monday to Friday, and then the other 5 or 6 weeks, you do something else. Or you go to church camp, you go, you know, maybe Saturday to Tuesday or whatever, and then you go and do something else. And when I first introduced or talked about my concept with them about kind of like piano lessons or guitar lessons or hitting lessons, you might go once a week and then you go back and you can practice that at home, and then you go back another week and you get instruction from your professor or from your hitting coach or from your musical coach. And then it was such a foreign concept to them of trying to run, instead of camps horizontally, we were going to run camps vertically. And you heard Ms. Smith talk about transportation. So think about it from a logistical standpoint.
Oh my gosh.
Is that the students that choose to come to Monday camps are different kids than maybe that are coming to Tuesday camps, mm-hmm. are different kids that are maybe coming, choosing to come to Wednesday camps, and so on and so forth. So from a logistical standpoint, buses basically had to be routed
everywhere
each day of the week differently. So now you're talking about a concept that's good for kids, but it's going to be work on adults in a time frame when the traditional school is closed.
Yeah, that's supposed to be working.
And so that's as you sort of try to think about this and imagine this, Bethy.
I was just going to say, but beyond all those logistical issues, which he's right, transportation started out as a nightmare, and then you throw in nutrition and all the other things that we provide for the kids. But from the kid perspective, I'm a 7-year-old, and on Mondays I get to play soccer, and on Tuesdays I have art, and on Wednesdays I have music, and on Thursdays I go to Little Princess Camp, or, you know, whatever. We have every kind of camp. We have over 100 camps, horseback riding. I mean, this year we have pickleball, which is, of course, the new craze, and the kids get this great variety. They get 2 meals, transportation, and a variety of activities for 6 weeks.
And I think it's interesting because the logistics, the next question is, who's going to do it? Who's going to teach? Where are we going to find 100 people to teach camps? And who's going to set them up? Who's going to put them together? And I think it what started out as, okay, let's just do it, has worked out with the 3 teachers here who have either done it every year or most of the years. And I think it's interesting to hear what they had to say, how they said, oh, yeah, I'll do that. I'd like to hear how y'all got involved. What made you interested in even doing it during the summer after working hard for 180-plus days? So, Becky?
Okay. Well, I liked the idea that it was something creative. It didn't have to be like Ms. Smith was talking about. You know, it could be one of your passions. And so I was like, well, what do I love? What would I want to pass on to kids? And I always loved Disney princesses growing up. So I believe Holly Hardy actually did the first camp. And then Courtney Gourley and I did the next year's camp. And so it was just something fun. But they're still learning because in there they're learning manners. They're learning how to cooperative play, social skills, all these skills that sometimes in the academic school year get looked over or pushed over, and without, you know, oh, we don't have to test this, we don't have to test that. And it's just kind of this fun time where you can really build those relationships with students that sometimes maybe in the school year things get rushed. And for example, this little boy just caught me in the hall on my way up here. Hey, aren't you that lady? Like, don't you do that summer thing? And I was like, yeah, buddy, I am. I was like, I don't think you're in my princess camp, but you know, I don't
but
think he came to that. But he recognized, he knows the teachers, especially if you're a consistent participant as far as the teachers go. These, no matter who, whether they're in your camp or not, these kids know you. They get to know you. They know you're a safe place. They know you're somebody where they recognize, hey, that was something fun. Hey, that was something. And what's also neat about it is a lot of times I've had kids in my summer camp who then come into my class the next academic year, and I've already got this relationship built with them. So it's like an easier transition into the school year for us. So I don't know, I just think it's an awesome opportunity for kids and for teachers on the end. It's a no-brainer. Like, you're kind of not smart if you don't take this opportunity, you know. It really is. It's a no-brainer. It really is.
So what got you interested, Pegs?
Me?
Yeah.
Well,
she said Pegs.
Yeah, that's well, my first year, I was volunteering as a paraprofessional working with Kathy Carroll over at the elementary school, and she had informed me that even though I was not a teacher at that time, that I could still do a summer camp if I'd like to. Well, kids are my jam. They're all I want to hang out with. It's harder for me to hang out with adults than it is for me to hang out with children. And I love the idea that I get to not only spend time with them in my classroom during the school year, but that over the summer, I don't have to miss them. They don't have to miss me. They know that I'm a safe person, that I'm a safe place, and that we're going to have so much fun together. And I also very much enjoy finding actors, since I'm very huge in the fine arts department. So a lot of times I'll suggest kids when I meet them to join my camp so that we can work on those skills and groom them as they go through the Putnam system to be successful actors all the way up through high school and win us one act competition. Because that's the goal, baby. That's the goal. But I got involved and I wasn't even a teacher yet. And I just fell in love with it. The opportunity, first of all, it's beautiful money, and thank you for that. Mm-hmm. It does help. I have a child that's in SCAD college right now in Savannah, so it is charging. So thank you for that. But it also allowed me the opportunity that after a while as a single widow being at home and my child is gone, mm-hmm. it gives me fun. For myself, it gives me an opportunity to get out. I come to the camp. I see my teacher friends that I love. I get to see my students that I love. And I'm giving back to the community, but also they're giving back to me and they don't even realize it. Mm-hmm. So that's why I continue to come back. And I just keep coming up with more weirder ideas for my camps.
Like, yeah, we love it.
And I got to say this one that the idea that I came up with last year, I really loved it so much. I want to do it again this year. And I was so grateful that you guys gave me the opportunity to do that. So I'll probably be back next year, girls.
We look forward to it. Rakina, you came at it in a different direction.
I did. I started as a student worker. So when I was in college, so I came back, graduated in 2015. So about around the time that it started, needed a summer job, was coming home, was not going to work in Kennesaw. was like, you know, I'll just come back home. And that happened, that summer inspiration was around. So I was like, you know, summer camp. Sounds easy enough, you know, not too much stress. So got in as a student worker, did that, answered the phones, walked around, you know, helped out in camps and just got to see firsthand, like, how this actually goes and how a camp runs and things like that. And it was fun to see the kids, like, doing whatever. Like, some of them were doing arts and crafts. Slime was a big thing. Still playing in slime. And that was fun, watching those teachers deal with that glue everywhere. But, and seeing them learn how to cook, even at, like, a young age, seeing how to, you know, make their own little meals, make little fruit things, and, you know, healthy options. And, you know, of course, some sugary stuff also. With summer without sugar. But then I took a break when I chose to stay at Kennesaw for a summer semester. And then once I graduated, I moved back home. I was like, the opportunity was still there for me to come back, but have a camp now. They needed a swimming camp. So I had recently, when I didn't work during the summer in Putnam, I was employed at a British swimming school. So a swimming teaching, like, you know, company that taught people how to swim. So I did that for about 2 years and came back. And the opportunity for young kids to learn how to swim was here. And it's very important to me. So small kids, I learned how to swim when I was young, like pre-K age. And for young kids, that summertime, you go around pools, pool parties. And a lot of kids go to pool parties and they don't know how to swim. And they get pushed in accidentally. And they need to know how to save themselves or save a friend. Mm-hmm. And in general, if you go on vacation, I mean, who wants to go and just sit on the outside of the pool and not get in it, you know? Yeah. I mean, teach his own. But I felt like everybody should have the opportunity to learn how to swim. So when Miss Beth and Miss Kathy asked me to do a swimming camp, I was like, yeah, we can do that. I was just like, you know, kids love water. I love water. It's summer. It's Georgia. It's hot. Mm-hmm. So we can do this. We can make this happen. So we're doing it in two years for me?
Yeah.
So
this will be the third.
Third year. So numbers look good. Kids are learning how to swim. And I try to put as much information and much skills as I can. And, you know, it's 6 weeks. So we jam-pack those 3 hours from 7:30 to 12. And just to give them another outlook, just so... You know, small towns, we don't really have a pool, but we have what we have. And kids don't get a chance to go on vacation and go see these big things. So I show them, like, videos of the Olympics. Like, you can do this. I don't know if somebody told you this, but, you know, we learn how to swim now. You can grow that into this whole career, and we could be watching you at an Olympics, and you would be like, yep, Rakina taught me how to swim. And I'll be like, thank you so much, you know, it wasn't me. But so just to give the kids the opportunity, and just and for a safety aspect of it, that's very important to me. So
I think it's important because, I mean, this started as an idea that has changed quite a bit over time and grown tremendously. But I think Rakina is one of so many examples, because we have high school students who come and work the camps. They're either playing sports or staying home, but this is some of their first job. Mm-hmm. I know Kathy can share some stories, but I mean, to think that a high school student now, hopefully we do groom future teachers from this opportunity, but Kathy always laughs after we get them all signed up and they come to work. They have to go through an interview process. Mm-hmm. And then the big part comes, Kathy.
Then we teach them how to fill out tax forms.
That's
the I-9, the G-4, the W-4, and what blanks to fill in. And they, we explain to them when they get that first check, you know, we won't have to take this tax or that tax, but you can expect to pay your Medicare tax, and they don't understand why somebody's taking part of their money. They learn how to fill out a timesheet and figure up their hours. So it's a learning process at every step. And I also have to say, and especially with these three ladies here, one of the side things that we do in Summer Inspiration, sure, you learn art, you learn to be a princess, you learn how to swim. But when we have kids, and we tell parents this all the time, we want your child to be happy in the summer. So if a kid chose a camp and for whatever reason it's stressful for them, or they're not getting along with the kids in the camp, then we don't hesitate. We have people like these three teachers who I can go to and say, you know, he's having a hard time. He's got a few little energy issues or whatever, but it's not working in this camp. Yes, will you take him? He might be a great actor and do some creative things, or maybe he needs a splash in the pool, or, you know, whatever they need, so that it's positive for them. It should not be a stressful situation for any child in the summer. And these ladies, like a lot, many, many others that work with us in the summer, always say, yeah, bring him to me. It's fine. Come on, we'll bake some cookies. We'll be good.
Yep.
And that's what Summer Inspiration is all about.
Well, Steve, do you have a little bit of understanding about Summer Inspiration? Because we've just started to scratch the surface. I'll give you an example is that What's funny, if you remember back, and I'm looking at Beth and Kathy as I talk about this, we jumped into this and started, and were ready to run our first Summer Inspiration with just a few weeks of planning. It has since evolved. They talked about it evolves. It really now starts almost 10 or 11 months early. Now we're starting in September for the following summer. And they've worked this down to a fine oiled machine, but that first year we jumped into this with just a few weeks.
Who's going to show up? Who's going to teach?
but the reality, but think about this: is we a lot of our school is based on adults making decisions, and one of the things that we wanted in this is that we want the children to make the decisions. So a lot of adults have to apply for camps, and they have to write it up, and they have to be able to talk about what they want to do. But then the kids get to actually self-select. And if your camp as an adult, you think it's a great camp, but no kids sign up, guess what? The camp doesn't make.
That's right.
Only free the summer. Camps that the kids want to sign up for are the ones that make. So the kids have the power in this example of, I want to go to a camp because I have a relationship with that instructor, or I want to go to the camp because that's really what I want to do, or I want to go to the camp because I want to add that skill or that learning to my repertoire. So that's another piece that what was interesting is that oftentimes, you know, we would say we're going to put kids in this summer school, or we're going to put kids in this camp. That's not what we do. You know, we've had a number of adults that seemed like they had great camp ideas, and none of the kids wanted to do it. So the instructor has to go back and figure out, either I have to go find kids that can relate to me and I can get them to sign up, or I have to modify what I want to do to what they want.
That's right.
During the summer. So if you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, and one of the, and he's absolutely right. The first year, I think we started in March.
Yes.
Somewhere.
With the idea.
Yeah, with the idea. And had it running by June, which was a miracle, because many late afternoons we sat here and went, what if no teacher wants to do a camp? And then it was, what if no kid wants to come? And luckily, lots of teachers wanted to do camps and lots of kids wanted to come. So it all worked out smoothly.
Yeah, right.
They made it smooth. It was not smooth.
After the fact.
But we do start now in late August. We give ourselves a couple of weeks to just relax, and then we get started right away. What worked this summer, what didn't work this summer. And one of the first things we have to do is go through all the camps that are submitted, and we look at the titles. Because sometimes a teacher thinks she's got a great idea for a camp, and it might be learn your multiplication tables. And not a lot of kids are going to sign up for that.
No.
But they might sign up for math adventures. So we try to help the teachers come up with catchy titles. We try to make sure they have a three-hour block of camp every day. We try to make sure that they've thought through the process. You know, if you thought that playing a card game was going to fill the 3 hours and be, this is not daycare. This is enriching activities. Mm-hmm. So that's the really big part. Then we move into registration, which is March 11th this year. And
March 11th.
Sorry,
remember.
Thank you. Of this year, which is 2024.
Yes. And you know, we have this registration has become sort of a community event. We have it in the gym at the middle school, and for 2 hours, tables are set up. Teachers can come and show, you know, this is what my camp is all about. Some teachers that have cooking camps bring cookies or whatever to, you know, lure the kids in.
Yep.
And it is a huge event. I mean, it's something that the community looks forward to. And for 2 hours, they go around to the tables and they sign their kids up for camp. Grandma comes with the kids, or, you know, the dads are always entertaining when they come and try to sign the kids up. And then after that night, we can see, okay, these camps, the Princess Camp already has 20 kids in it. We know it's going to make. And then there are the camps that, you know, we're sorry, but they just didn't want to learn their multiplication tables for fun this summer. So we're through with the first part now and going into getting ready for registration. And then we'll have 4 or 5 more registrations that Beth and I do here at the board office. And to get every kid that wants to come to summer. And our favorite phone call is when parents new to the community call us and they say, oh, I got this thing about summer inspiration, but we're new to the community. Can you tell me about it? And we tell them all that it entails. And then they say, and what is this going to cost? And we proudly say, it doesn't cost you anything. And no camp is allowed to ask parents. You can ask them to bring toilet paper rolls or, you know, but this does not cost our families anything. And I think that is, new parents to the community are shocked that our district
and grateful
does and grateful
and beyond grateful
does this for our community and our children.
And I think, Steve, if somebody were listening and say, well, how in the world can they do that and not charge? And one thing that you have to understand is that we're a charter system, and the state of Georgia has created different types of school system, and we chose to be a charter system. Our board chose that, and we've been a charter system for almost 15 years. And what that means are a couple things, is that we've entered into a contract with the state of Georgia to do certain things, and some of those certain things are that we give parents and community members a voice. We call it through our SGA, our school governing authorities. They have voices in decision-making at the school level. So we have SGAs, and we also we get maximum flexibility from state board rules in Title 20. So in exchange for giving voices to our community and to our schools, I mean, to our parents and others through our SGAs, we get the flexibility of being a charter system. And the state of Georgia actually gives us a little bit of money extra above that that they call a charter allotment. And we use that money for being a charter system to actually fund and pay for summer inspiration. So for 10 years, it's been the extra dollars that the legislatures have allocated to charter systems that we've used. And that's how we pay for it. And so it's not costing our taxpayers any dollars from that standpoint, but our community, you heard some of our teachers talk about how important it is to our community. But I'll say this, as a charter system, some of the flexibilities that we have, one of the three teachers that's sitting here is a biology major and a Spanish minor. And she's using our charter flexibility to be a first-year Spanish teacher at the high school. I'll let you decide if you think you know who that is. And then we use our charter flexibility because another one of the three teachers that's sitting here with us spent a long time working with Disney and got all of that information and experience,
that one, right?
And then gets to bring that worldly experience to her classroom. And then one of our teachers went the traditional route, and I'll let you figure out who that kindergarten teacher is. But that's another example of being a charter system that allows us that flexibility to find the right people to do that. And we're talking about summer inspiration, but from funding to charters to summer inspiration, all of that's woven together.
Well, I can say on that, sir, that if it wasn't for the fact that we were a charter school system, I have been insanely blessed because of that. So I'm really glad that you brought that point up.
So you know,
personally blessed.
Pegs was a parapro for us and doing all kinds of stuff, but because her passion for art and for kids, we saw that. We were able to take advantage of that. Through the traditional path, she wouldn't be considered to be highly qualified or even to be a teacher. Yeah,
correct.
But because we have the flexibility, because of our board's direction for us to be a charter school system, we were able to take her passion and to be able to use it in the primary school.
And it completely changed my life.
And I think we also, one of the things, you know, that can-do attitude that comes from being a charter system, I think we also have to acknowledge for those people who may be listening to this, and, oh, okay, I see how that works. But you have to acknowledge the fact that custodians have to change their routine because those buildings aren't empty. There are people in those buildings now. Payroll, finance, who normally is closing out the fiscal year, now has a program that runs through two fiscal years. So not only are they having to close out 1 year, they're having to continue to work with us to pay across two fiscal years. So it's all those people who IT, who's trying to get all the equipment in and refurbished and back out. We've got a teacher who needs computers, 30 computers. Those computers got to go back out into a classroom. So this is 6 weeks in June and part of July that everybody has to rethink how school functions. And because of that can-do attitude, the custodian says, no problem, we'll go this way, or we'll clean on Fridays when we're, because we run camps Monday through Thursday. It's just comes, I think, from that charter system concept of, okay, what can we do with kids as our focus? What can we do to value what we can teach these kids? And what can we do to also value the teachers and the staff that give their time, you know, during the rest of the school year?
It's definitely a district initiative.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Many times we are invited to go and speak with people in different districts, and they want to know, oh, this is great. We want to do this in our district. tell us what it entails. And once we are finished, we have yet, I think we're probably still the only district in Georgia that does this, because you have to have from your board members, your superintendent, to everyone in the school system is touched by this. Mm-hmm. So it is a district initiative, and if you don't have that kind of support, you are not going to pull this off, not at this level.
Well, I will say, because I've lived in many different places, this community and this county and this school and staff, there's so many people that will just jump right in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How can I help you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you need? That child's an issue. I will take him to my camp. Right. I mean, I have never seen such love, and I really enjoy that about working for
it's
Putnam,
all about the kids.
But also being a Putnam resident, because it's in the community as well. So there's that.
Small town vibes, you know?
Oh, it's good stuff. I mean, it's, you know, it's, there's so much going on here. So so tell me what are the most popular types of things that the kids seem to gravitate towards?
Swimming.
My camp.
Anything for water. Princesses.
You're looking at the queens of the camp.
And food.
They are a good representative of many more. And that's one of the things Kathy and I have committed to, is that we go to every camp every day, every 6 weeks. We see what's going on to see if the kids are engaged, or if the teachers need anything, or the directors of the camps need help. Because you got to also understand, we've got to keep the principals and their leadership staff freed up. So we've got to also protect their time during the summer. So trying to make sure, you know, and just it's just fun to see kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's the best part of what we do, is seeing the kids having a good time.
Happy.
And there are there are certainly camps that are more popular. Over the years, cooking camps. We have different cooking camps at every level. Cooking camps fill up very quickly. Kids love to cook, and they love to eat what they have prepared. So cooking camps... anything that has to do with water or slime, arts and crafts, dance. We have
sports
lots of dance.
Kids.
And then when you then you have camps that are more fine-tuned, and our camps that are sports-related, they are not about the football team coming and having a camp in the summer to get ready for football. It's the little kid who's never going to be on the football team, or I love to look at the little dancers, the girl who's never going to be on a dance team because she's watching everybody else to know when to step right or step left, but in the summer, she gets to be a little dancer. And so there's lots of, you know, personal passions, and then there are the camps that just fill up right away. But there's something for every kid. Legos, robots, I mean, you just, horseback riding, I can't even begin to name the variety of camps that we have.
And I think that's, it's, you know, Steve, as you asked that question about what's the most popular, I would say the most popular camp is the one the kid chooses, because they get to choose what they want. But I'll give you a couple of things to think about, is that the ladies talked about registration. So it's a first come, first serve basis. So all of the campers, all the camp, the adults, they set up in a gym at our middle school, and they're basically signing people up the old fashioned way. This isn't virtual sign up, this isn't electronic sign up. This is, I'm coming to your table and I'm gonna put my John Hancock down on that slip. So imagine the doors. 5 minutes before the doors open, there are people waiting to get inside.
It's like Christmas.
It's like Black Friday, you know?
So 1,000 kids and their parents, and then a few dads who have no idea why they're there. They learn very quickly what they're doing, and they're running around and you know, making sure that they see the sign up for their camps that they want to. They're enjoying their friends, enjoying their teachers. So that's one story I want to share. You talked about which one is the most, widely attended. But think about this. We had a few years ago, a few transportation directors ago, a transportation director that said, hey, can I teach two camps? Mm. Like, okay, what do you want to teach?
That's awesome.
He said, I want two things. I have a passion for golf. I want to teach beginning golf. And he said, I have a passion for working on engines, about being a mechanic. Can I take and make a camp where we teach kids how to refurbish a 350 small block Chevy engine?
Cool.
That's
awesome.
Right?
That's a skill they'll need.
Exactly.
So that's why they still have some of
the. So what was interesting, and this is what was most impressive to me, is during that summer, I went to that, and it basically it was a speed, you know, how fast, like, can you break down the engine, and you have to understand how to put it back together. But if you remember, we had the future valedictorian.
Yes.
In that camp, and we had a special needs child in that camp. And when they went to the engine to start working on their sides, because they had to work as teams, you would have never been able to pick out the valedictorian in that camp, because that child, both of those children, knew exactly what they were supposed to do and what they had learned. And basically what, for me as an educator, you just created an environment where everybody in their passion could be equal. You remember what I'm talking about?
I do.
So, awesome. So you know, you ask, you know, what's the most popular camp? I'm going to say the one the kid chose, and then I'm going to say that's a reason why we do this, is because in that princess camp, you don't know who those kids are. The valedictorian and the one that's going to be the last one to walk across the stage are on the same playing field. In that swimming pool, or in that art class, or in that drama class, some of the best actors are not necessarily some of the best spellers. Mm-hmm. And that's the piece that's exciting, is that if we can get our teachers to find their passion and get our kids to link into their passion, isn't that what we're supposed to be doing?
I think so.
Right answer, Steve. Right?
Well, it brings inspiration, which will encourage confidence for each of those children.
Yes.
And that is...
That's one of the things. And that's one of the things that we tell all teachers. It doesn't matter if you're doing art or dance or swimming, whatever you're doing. Communication, talk to the kids. Get the kids to talk to each other. A lot of times that gets lost in the very busy day of, you know, the kid who just really wants your ear and wants to just talk to you, and providing that and building self-confidence. Whether you're swimming or dressing up as a princess, whatever you're doing, if we can help our children be good communicators and have self-confidence, then we've done them a great service.
I agree.
You know, one of the things that makes me think about is that, you know, there's nothing better than making kids see that learning can be fun.
Yes,
right.
So it's got to wear off a little bit on coming back to school, as you know, during the fall. Considering I think they're thinking, well, if this was fun,
right,
maybe the next part's going to be fun too.
Right.
And I would just think that would wear off on not just the kids but the adults the same way, who, if you've not had a chance to ever create your own class where the kids get to pick and choose where they attend, and you see what they like and they don't, you know, that to me, that would have an impact on what you do in the fall to try and create engagement.
Well, and that's the thing, Steve, is that if the summer wasn't isolated and didn't look anything like the regular school year, then I don't know that we've achieved what we wanted to achieve. But when you're able to show teachers, parents, the community, that learning can be fun, now it can't be a camp every day of 180 days, but our teachers have really evolved into, and that's one of the things that we talk about here, is learning needs to be fun. Now, are there certain things and standards that you have to cover? Are there certain assessments you have to do? Absolutely. But building relationships in the regular school year and making learning fun is it. We don't want summer to be the foreign concept. We want summer inspiration to be the norm from that standpoint. Mr. Rod, can you talk a little bit about maybe some how some of the things in your classroom have modified over the time?
Well, I do. I think for teachers, from a teacher perspective, it actually challenges us to do that if you've been involved in summer inspiration. Because you see the joy, you see the kids, you're a little bit more relaxed, less pressure. You do have that. But, and then it starts you thinking, well, I can do this throughout the year. We just got to be creative. We just kind of got to tweak it. So for me, some of mine have changed, like at independent centers and things like that. There's play there, but there's also learning, but they don't really know they're learning because right. They're playing.
Or maybe they dress up as scientists, yes, which I've seen your kids do.
Yes.
Or,
things like that. So it gives you just, like, it really for me challenged me and helped me to think about how can I bring this into every day. Like you said, maybe not every single day can be a camp, but you can have it so fun that, right, you know, they don't even realize just how much they're learning at the time.
Well, I would think that's why it would inspire the adult the same way, to mm-hmm. see, to try and do some of those things that might make it more engaging and fun,
right,
and something that they learn from. Now, I've got to tell the audience that's listening to this that you've just been listening to someone who has a big 100 on her hat.
And a cat shirt. Yeah. There will be a new camp this year for pets, about pets.
That's right.
Because
that's right.
Speaking of your passions, I wanted to change it up because my ocean camp, I was like, oh, right, okay, we've done it for a while. And I was like, what do I love? Well, I can't bring Jared, my husband. I love cats. How can I weave that in? So be on the lookout for Wild About Pets, March 11th.
There you go.
Nice. That
good.
Was,
nice little. Yeah. Nice little hear that right plug. There. Yeah.
So, Becky Norrod.
Right.
Thanks, Peg.
So we're going to have this class on this camp on pets.
Yes.
And we're going to have swimming again.
We are.
And we're going to have some sort of art or theater, or what are we going to have?
Well, I have two camps. Mm-hmm. My one camp is Artist Sketchy, where we do a lot of art projects, but we also do wild art projects. Like, we'll bring in blank white shoes and we'll design them. Mm-hmm. Cool. The children will design them and then get to wear them throughout the school year. So I really like my Art is Sketchy art. But last year, I got wild with these ladies, and they were so wonderful to let me. I was like, yes. So I have to work on my reading. I have dyslexia. So I work on my reading a lot. I try to read at least one book a month. And I know that sounds like nothing to you guys, but for me, who struggles with finding the letters correctly while I'm reading, it's a lot. So I wanted to do a drama camp again, because I've been doing drama camps ever since, but I wanted to make a spin with it. So I asked Miss Beth and Miss Kathy if I could do a reading / drama camp. So last year we did James and the Giant Peach, and we read the book together. The children tried to read some of the words, but I also had, and I was very blessed that I had a lot of student directors that were a little older that wanted to hang out in my camp and hang out with Miss Bay.
Yeah.
So they were also helping me with the reading with the kids. So we read the book, and then we watched the film, and then we did face paint and costume day, and then we performed James and the Giant Peach, and I made like this little video, and I emailed it to all the parents. And it was so cute. Aww. And this year we're doing Wizard of Oz. So it'll
I want to be in your camp.
Right?
Everybody
come to Wizard of Oz. Drama camp. Pets Fozzie.
I can do it with you.
And let's super just, excited about
let's
it.
Let's just cool. add super to her excitement. We did buy her a set of books.
Absolutely.
For this, but she had two Hispanic children.
I did.
In her camp. And she bought the Spanish version of that book for those children, yeah, so they could read it in their home awesome. Language.
They were just sitting there, and then I walked over to them, and I found out that they did not speak English. Mm-hmm. So I went on. I mean, we get a couple days before we have to come back the next week. So I went online, and I was like, I need it in my house right now.
Right.
And I ordered two books for both of those students, and then they got into it.
Yeah.
They became engaged mm-hmm. and inspired, and they understood what we were doing in this camp. It was amazing.
And if
it
that happens great. Again this year, you will let us know. Exactly.
And now we have this awesome class set of James of the Giant Peach with two Spanish versions of
which I took to the elementary school
that can go to another school. So I feel like the same thing with Wizard of Oz. So. Yeah. I'm excited for my camps. It was so fun last year. The kids loved it. And I already had kids asking what play we were doing this summer. Yeah, that's cool. So I got excited for that.
And I will say that frequently in the summer, Mr. Arena, whose job is not nearly as exciting as mine and Beth's, will come in because we start very early in the summer. And he'll come in and he'll say, tell me a story. Tell me something that's making you laugh, making you smile, whatever. And these are the stories that we tell and that we share, because the enthusiasm and the excitement in the summer, it's everywhere.
Yeah. You know, this is incredible, because this is, you know, it's fun. Can I attend?
Absolutely. Come on. I teach adults. That's fine.
What would you like to be?
Would you like to teach? What you want to learn? Backstroke, freestyle, butterfly. I got you.
Do you have some white shoes? We can paint them, baby.
No.
Well, see, what was interesting is the teachers wanted you to come into their camp.
I'm trying to
get you. Kathy wants you to come teach a camp.
We could really use someone at the middle school level to do something like this.
Yeah, it would be cool.
Hey.
History.
Growing the next
history
influencers
is amazing.
Here.
Amazing. It would be awesome if you did that.
That's cool stuff.
But think about it. Yeah, you could tie history and do podcasts with historical figures.
Ooh. And historical I can dress figures. Them up. I'll
you can do like
up.
A video podcast. There you go.
Yeah. Look. Got it.
There you go, new you're idea.
Not. The excitement is contagious.
If I can get kindergartners to get interested in art history, I'm sure you can make that happen, sir.
I agree. That would be good. That would be good. This is awesome stuff. This is, one last chance for a commercial. What date is that when it's?
March 11th.
March 11th.
March 11th from 3:30 to 5:30 in the middle school gym.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
2024.
Yes. 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 Look for the big dive and dip board.
Yes.
Nice, nice. Good stuff. So we're kind of pulling this all together here. Mr. Reno, what last comments you got on it?
I would say this, Steve, is that as you listen to this and you get the opportunity to see their faces and the smiles and hear the passion in their voice, who wouldn't want your teacher to be this excited about what they were working on? And who wouldn't want their students to be that excited that they choose to come to your class on days that they don't have to? Mm-hmm. And then as for us, we have high school kids that get the opportunity to earn money and to work and to learn to be camp counselors. We have students that get to come back from the summer and get to pour back into our kids and then eventually come back and teach for us. So, you know, this is for us, has been a labor of love. We talked about this has been going on for about a decade. But the reality is aligning teachers with their passion to be able to then go and pour in to kids who want to be there. And it's exciting when those kinds of things come. And if you want to come and see camps, we would love to give you a tour and you can go around with Miss Beth and Miss Kathy. They visit every camp every day. So we encourage you to do that. But I'm just excited as an educator that we're able to create an environment where teachers get excited about teaching and kids get excited about learning.
Thanks for listening to Putnam Proud. Do you know someone who hasn't listened to Putnam Proud yet? It would be awesome if you shared this show with a friend, colleague, community member, family, everyone you know. The Putnam Proud podcast is created for educational purposes. All opinions are those of guest and host. Thanks for listening.